This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Lift it, load it, grade it, grind it, move it, haul it, rig it, dig it, crane works, motor works, rental works, yeah! Big dog's got it.
Paul Feinbaum on the Roundtable is brought to you by Craneworks. Lift it, buy it, rent it. The big dog's got it. And now, Paul Feinbaum.
You see him on the SEC Network and ESPN. Hear him right here on Jocks 94.5 every day, 2 to 6. Hello, Feinbaum. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Good morning, guys.
Good morning to you. You know, it's interesting. We were talking about this earlier. Alabama and Clemson both Saturday looked about as regular as they have looked. Not the whole year for Clemson because they had to fight to beat Syracuse, but in quite a while for them, for the whole year for Alabama. Yet, Clemson won by 20, Alabama won by 24. I guess that's kind of a statement of where those two teams are.
I think some of it is the time of the year, and I bet if you go back, and some of this is dictated by schedule. Alabama seems to leak a little gas now and then in November, but you know it's the LSU Mississippi State Auburn stretch. I think that has something to do with it. And when you get right down to it, in terms of Alabama, they haven't played anyone until they really got to LSU. I mean, A&M was formidable, but you know, not as formidable as maybe we thought on that day. And I think we all know now the Louisville preseason or first game was nothing more than a scrimmage. So I'm not too surprised by that. I think if you had a perfectly healthy Tua Saturday, the score would have been even more lopsided. But when you think about what Alabama has done defensively the last 2 weeks, I mean, it doesn't matter whether they get a field goal, they're probably still going to win.
Hey, Paul, we've always had conspiracy theories when it comes to SEC officiating in Alabama, but there were some bad missed calls Saturday against Mississippi State.
Yeah, there were. I didn't see the game. What happened?
Come on, Paul.
I mean, not that it
matters. Mississippi State's still going to lose that game, but it just seemed like, you know, everything is going Alabama's way.
Well, when you go back a couple weeks and just follow the bouncing ball from Devin White to the reversal in the LSU game to that, the conspiracy theorists are going to be out there, and unfortunately they have something to chew on. Now, I always defend officials, and because you guys know officials, and I don't think any of them by and large are doing anything other than just calling the plays. But yeah, I mean, if you're a State fan and if you're John Cohn, you know, you have every right to say whatever you want. And I don't mean to be this way, but it's not going to change anything. I wonder if anyone really believes that people get together and say, "Oh, we have to help Alabama because they're so unfortunate." I mean, why would Alabama need help from anyone? Is my question.
The Citadel and Liberty stand before Alabama and Auburn meet again. Auburn losing at Georgia this past weekend. You've covered a million Iron Bowls. How does this one stack up? Give me a storyline. Do you think Auburn has anything for this Alabama team in 2 weeks?
I don't, and I base that on what I saw Saturday from Auburn. It was a tough game for Georgia, too. You can throw them right into the mix, but they still won by 17. Probably should have been more, at least 30 to 10. And I really felt like after at the end of the half that Auburn was going to get back into that game. And you know, I watched this as you guys did 2 weeks ago, as we hyped the Alabama LSU game, and we'll hype the Iron Bowl and play the montage from yesteryear. But I don't believe Auburn is going to make it a competitive game unless, here comes the disclaimer, unless the Alabama quarterback situation is considerably worse than it is today, because if Tua is banged up and can't be functional, and Jalen Hurts is not around or available, then that would make it perhaps a tighter game. But I can't see any explanation beyond that.
Paul Feinbaum is with us, courtesy of Craneworks. Don't forget the Rental Works division of Craneworks is selling new and used equipment. Just look for that big dog. It dominates Birmingham skyline, as those cranes have done for years. Paul Feinbaum from ESPN and the SEC Network on the Bud Light Hotline. I do want to ask you about Auburn, because, look, a lot of people said, hey, go to that hurry-up offense. It scored two touchdowns against Texas A&M, the two-minute drill the whole game. Well, Auburn threw it more, and it didn't change anything. They still lose by 17. Gus Malzahn has lost this fan base, Paul. You know that, but his athletics director came out and gave him a vote of confidence. Where do you think this whole thing stands going into the final 2 weeks of the regular season?
Well, first of all, when it comes to Allen Green, like him very much. Let's get all that out of the way. But I didn't think that vote of confidence really meant anything, because that's what athletic directors do. They say things because they have to rally the troops. And I think what he wanted to do was change the story, because I think nowadays people are very, Gus Malzahn's good for another year. Well, I think we all do that anyway, unless the bottom fell out. And as I say, the bottom fell out, I think about where this season is going to end up. It's going to end up 7-5, if my math is correct, guys. And you think about that A&M game, and it could have been worse. And frankly, 7-5 is unacceptable at Auburn. But it's also you have a dilemma when you just got through rewarding a coach with a new contract. So, you know, what does the school want? And I don't think we yet know what the temperature is going to be. I think you have to watch it. You have to let it play out. You have to see what the reaction is after the Iron Bowl. I'm sure it's already pretty bad. Does the bowl game really matter? Not really. I don't know. 7-6 versus 8-5. I guess there is a difference. I think the disconnect comes as well from Gus Malzahn, because Gus Malzahn's always about to turn the corner, isn't he? We still have the Alabama game left. We still have the Liberty game. I mean, that stuff just doesn't work with the fan base. It's interesting to me. I was in Arkansas over the weekend, and how disappointed those fans, some fans out there, are that Malzahn didn't take the Arkansas job. And I'm still wondering why he didn't take the Arkansas job. He would be very popular out there. Chad Morris hasn't won a conference game, and he's still pretty popular. The fans were excited Saturday to play a close game against LSU. So that's where I have my questions about Gus Malzahn. He can read the fan base pretty well, I think, and he's been there long enough. I don't know why he stayed.
Boy, you look miserable Friday. It looked cold up there, man.
I was. Friday it was about wind chill of 20. Saturday morning it was a mean temperature of 17.
Yikes.
But – yeah, that's Arkansas.
I think you may have answered your Malzahn question. Yeah,
exactly. Gus Malzahn does not like the weather out there. That could be the
edge. Hey, Tennessee winless in the SEC last year. Now two wins in the SEC after beating Kentucky this past weekend. How optimistic should Tennessee fans be right now with Jeremy Pruitt?
Well, they ought to feel pretty good, and because this team has no business beating ranked teams. They really don't. To go on the road and beat a ranked Auburn team, which is somewhat of a hollow statement right now, because it's not hard to be ranked in the top 25 at the moment. And to beat Kentucky, I think, is even more significant, because that was a pretty good Kentucky team. And Jeremy Pruitt has worked some magic. I think he has bought himself a lot of faith from that fan base, who maybe after the Florida game was wondering what they had gotten themselves into. If he can build on this, recruit well, I think he's got a chance to really build a nice program there. And I am so impressed with what he's done. And Kentucky, I mean, what a week for Kentucky. You know, lose by nearly 40 in basketball and throw away a New Year's Six game in football. That was a rough week for the Cats.
Paul Feinbaum, not in the SEC here, but he used to be, and you've covered college football a long time. Your thoughts on Bobby Petrino getting all that money and getting fired over the weekend there at Louisville? What do you think of how that has gone down, and him actually, the fans finding out during the middle of his coach's show with a ticker update breaking news at the bottom of the screen?
Yeah, I wonder how many people are watching that coaching show.
Yeah. Not many these days.
Bobby Petrino is a very good football coach. He's just not a very nice person. And I don't know many people, many folks who are really bothered by this. This is now the second epic fall from grace that he's had. Fired from Arkansas, you wondered if he could ever get it back. And now this. And well, I bring that up because you have to wonder if he has a third act in him. Why this thing fell apart so quickly after Lamar Jackson, I think is a mystery, because deep down I believe he's still pretty good in terms of X's and O's and as an offensive as an offensive play caller. But, I just got through talking about bad years. Can you think of a program in the last year that has lost two bigger names at its coaching positions,
yeah,
Rick Pitino and Bobby Petrino?
That's a good point. And Lamar Jackson to boot. I mean, Heisman Trophy winner, one of the greatest players in school history.
And the AD, Tom Juric, was considered, yeah, among the very best in the country. I mean, that's just an epic fail from that university. And, everyone's talking about luring Jeff Brohm. I'm really not sure why Jeff Brohm would want to go back there. And I know he went to school there, but still, he can do better than that.
Paul Feinbaum, you can hear him 2 to 6 right here on Jocks 94.5. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, guys. See you next week.
All right, Paul on the Bud Light Hotline, presented by Craneworks.
Follow Ryan Brown on Twitter and Instagram at Ryan Brown WJOX.